WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's congressional representatives vote along party lines to pass new rules for the House's impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Virginia's attorney general files another lawsuit over the opioid crisis. Meanwhile, just days before Virginia's elections, last-minute money streams into campaigns across the Commonwealth. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, November 1st. Virginia's congressional representatives voted along party lines Thursday to pass new rules for the House's impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Republicans voted against the measure, and most Democrats backed it, including 7th District Representative Abigail Spanberger.
I voted in support of this resolution because it does set parameters for our public hearings moving forward, and it assures that both Republicans and Democrats have equal time to question witnesses.
10th District Democrat Jennifer Wexton praised the officials who have appeared to testify and the process that will be more open moving forward. Republicans were united in opposition to the resolution. 5th District GOP Representative Denver Riggleman accused Democrats of trying to legitimize partisan impeachment hearings. 6th District Republican Ben Klein criticized, quote, an impeachment process based on incomplete testimony heard in secret by only a privileged few and reminiscent of the phony trials of the Soviet era. In fact, Republican members have had access to all of the witnesses called so far in the impeachment hearings, and Democrats are now using many of the same procedures Republicans established during the impeachment inquiry into Bill Clinton. Virginia's attorney general has filed another lawsuit over the opioid crisis. Mark Herring's suit alleges that Teva Pharmaceuticals USA and Teva-owned Cephalon misrepresented the benefits and risks of products that include fentanyl. Herring said Teva and its predecessor company promoted fentanyl lozenges for broader use, even though the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved them only for cancer pain. The complaint also accuses the companies of manipulating research about the drugs. Fentanyl and other potent opioids are now responsible for more fatal overdoses in the U.S. than other opioids. Some 2,700 lawsuits have been filed nationwide against the drug industry over opioids. Richmond-based tobacco company Altria is taking a big financial hit from its multi-billion dollar bet on e-cigarettes. On Thursday, Altria slashed the value of its investment in the beleaguered vaping company Juul Labs by one-third, dragging down its results to a financial loss for the quarter. Altria bought roughly a third of Juul for $13 billion last December, but executives said they would take a $4.5 billion write-down on that investment amid a growing crackdown on Juul and the vaping industry at large. Since last year, Juul has been hit by new federal and state investigations into its marketing amid an explosion of underage vaping among teenagers. Separately, an outbreak of lung injuries tied to vaping has led to new government warnings around e-cigarettes. No single product or ingredient has been identified as the root cause of all those problems. Last-minute money is streaming into some campaigns across the Commonwealth. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports on the numbers.
Candidates across Virginia are awash in last-minute campaign cash, an indication of just how competitive this year's election is for the General Assembly. The top recipient is Nancy Guy, the Democrat challenging Republican incumbent Delegate Chris Stolle in Virginia Beach. She took in more than $400,000 since last week. Former Republican Delegate David Ramanan at George Mason University says this year's fundraising numbers are eye-popping.
Last-minute big donations are not unusual. The magnitude of it this time is unusual. I don't recall something up to $500,000 happening last minute in the last three or four cycles.
This cycle is seeing a particular focus in Virginia Beach, where Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says the low turnout creates a lot of bang for the buck.
Turnout can tend to be in Virginia Beach less than half of the number of voters that vote in a Northern Virginia district. So even when the percentage margins can be wider, the number of raw votes needed are actually very small. And so I think the Democrats are sensing an opportunity to steal some seats in Virginia Beach this cycle.
The money will keep flowing through Election Day and beyond. Many special interests make a point of donating to campaigns after the election, when lawmakers are preparing for the General Assembly session that starts in January. I'm Michael Pope.
Weather is always a factor for fishermen, so this year, Omega Protein Corporation, which has the largest menhaden fishing fleet on the Atlantic coast, followed the fish into the Chesapeake Bay rather than risk heavy seas. But in doing so, they overstepped harvest limits, Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
The Chesapeake Bay is a nursery for many species, including menhaden, a fish caught by local fishermen for bait and pursued on an industrial scale by Omega Protein to turn into fish oil and fish meal. The Canadian company has several U.S. fishing fleets, including one in Reedville. The season isn't over, but Omega has exceeded the bay cap by more than a third. At a meeting this week in New Hampshire, commissioners from Florida to Maine voted unanimously to find Virginia out of compliance. Eric Reed is a commercial fisherman who represented Rhode Island at this week's meeting.
I got boats sitting at the dock, too. And when the Fed said fishing's over, we stay tied at the dock.
Virginia's General Assembly oversees only one fish, menhaden, and legislatures have refused to adopt the Chesapeake Bay harvest cap. Virginia's Commissioner Steve Bowman supported the finding.
Governor Northam, Secretary Strickler have demonstrated a desire to improve not only water quality, but the environment. So to be found out of compliance in such an important matter is very, very disturbing.
Menhaden are linked to the health of other species like striped bass, which are in decline partly due to poor diet. This week, the commission also voted to reduce bass striped bass commercial quotas by 18%. Anglers can catch one fish 18 inches or larger. Next year, Virginia's menhaden bay harvest will be reduced by the amount of its excess this year. The U.S. Department of Commerce will also consider penalties. I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
And finally today, another story related to water-based resources. The freshwater mussel is nature's river cleaner. But every autumn, for 3 years running, there has been a mass die-off of one of the most important species. Biologists say if this continues, it could be a warning sign for global river ecosystems. Virginia Public Radio's Robbie Harris reports from the Virginia-Tennessee border.
The Clinch River system in southern Appalachia is world-class, rich with wildlife from pretty much the entire food chain, top to bottom. But it's the bottom that has scientists extremely concerned. A keystone species of freshwater mussel that filters a large portion of these waters is dying by the thousands, and biologists are desperate to find out why.
We're at ground zero. The Clinch River is the best studied example of this.
Tony Goldberg is an infectious disease epidemiologist and a veterinarian from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Vet School, part of a team of people who are investigating what we now know is a global phenomenon of mussel mortality events.
This is happening here in the southeast. It's happening in the Pacific Northwest. It's even happening in Europe. We have collaborators in Spain who have been sending us samples and asking for our help.
Jordan Richard is a biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife who studies freshwater mussels in this watershed. He says a die-off like this can happen when pollutants make their way into the water, overwhelming even the mussel's ability to clean it up. But here, where the Powell and Clinch Rivers run undammed down the mountains, the water quality is actually good.
Just based on water quality, it doesn't make sense that that would be the real culprit.
Richard is holding three different mussel species, still wet from the river, shells glistening in the sun, their tissue still white, looks fresh. But a trained biologist knows they're newly dead.
It's not abnormal at a shoal where you have hundreds of thousands of mussels living together on any given day to find one or two that have died recently. But when you see one of these and one of these and 50 of those in like a 10-minute walkthrough of the site, that gives you a clue that something is happening to these.
Richard's referring to the prized pheasant shell mussel, the workhorses of the waters. Larger than most mussel species, they lie almost fully buried in the river bottom, only the tips of their shell sticking up, quickly opening and closing, as though gulping the water as it flows. A single one can filter upwards of 18 gallons of water a day, and they're responsible for the majority of water filtration in any river they inhabit.
We call them the backbone of the ecosystem. They're really useful at sort of making their own habitat better for themselves, but also better for everything else, because they're not only cleaning the water, but they're cleaning it in a way that recycles all of the dirt to fuel the bottom of the food chain. So without the mussels, the fish are going to suffer, the snails are going to suffer, the crayfish. Nothing will do as well without the mussels around.
Richard and Goldberg are now able to time these die-off seasons after 3 years of tracking, and each year, like clockwork, whatever it is, returns to these waters and kills more and more pheasant shell mussels without harming any of the other 46 species of mussels that live here. One theory is that it's a new virus, another that it's some imbalance in the microbiome that affects only this species. And no list of possibilities is complete without this one.
So, I mean, climate change is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and this could be related to climate change. But we don't have the luxury of saying, well, if we want to save the mussels, we have to fix climate change. We don't have that much time.
Goldberg and Richard think this year's die-off season has peaked, the shells of dead pheasant mussels littering the river's edge. For now, the waters still look pristine on this late fall day. And while declines in abundant species like this one have been seen before, they're normally linked to extremely high spawning events, with too many offspring for all to survive. Unless and until these scientists confirm what's happening, they can only say this is an event unlike any they've yet seen. On the Virginia-Tennessee border, I'm Robbie Harris.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday and your weekend.